From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in Fodor's Travel online forum in December of 2007. A user named Mel had a concern, and she wrote the following. Quote, I went to the Dominican Republic and spent the whole week crying over the stray dogs and poverty. Can anyone suggest good places to go in the Caribbean where there are low numbers of stray animals and poverty? End quote. Now think about that. Mel saw poverty and suffering. It made her very sad. And her first thought was not, how can I help solve the problem? She just wanted to know where else could she go in the Caribbean where she wouldn't be so close to the poverty. Tourism is booming in parts of the Caribbean, of course, but other industries are also posing issues. Human and drug trafficking in places. And it seems that so much of what we know about the Caribbean comes from glossy spreads in travel magazines. In Western New York, the local Caribbean community can occasionally feel forgotten for those reasons. And this hour, we've invited them to have a conversation about culture, connecting in Rochester, helping out back home. And let me welcome my guests for the hour. Joel Frater's here from the Rochester Jamaican Organization. Joel, thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure.
Earl Barnes is here, president of the Rochester Caribbean Alliance. Earl, welcome to you.
Oh, thank you.
And Martine Rose is here, organizer of the 2016 Rochester Jerk Festival. Welcome to you, Martine.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you all for being here. And there are a number of festivals, events, a lot of fun things coming up this summer. But I started with that little takeaway that I saw online because I was not laughing because it was funny. I was laughing at how peculiar it is that sometimes when we travel to the Caribbean, I put that in air quotes, we don't see much of what sort of real life is like on these island nations. We see it from a resort perspective. And I wonder if that, does that bother people? I mean, does that bother Jamaicans that a lot of Americans will go to Jamaica, but they don't really see much of Jamaica, for example?
It certainly does. For those who are socially conscious, that is certainly something on people's minds. See, tourism is a primary industry in Jamaica, but for those who understand the industry, they really know there are some imbalances. And there is certainly a social cost to tourism. So in as much as we depend on the economic windfall from that industry, there are some social ills. Those social ills aren't unique to Jamaica.
Sure.
They are certainly common in all places where you have tourism as a major industry.
Mm-hmm. Earl, what do you think?
Along the same lines, tourism is a major factor in the Caribbean, as you know, in general. So yes, it's a balancing act as we go. And of course, you know, a lot of people would say, well, why did you leave the Caribbean or why did you leave the island? Just to improve your situation for yourself and your family. So yes, it's a coexistence between a balancing act, so to speak.
Martine, do you have thoughts on that about, you know, if you have friends or folks you know who travel there, you know, does that feel right to you? Does it feel okay? You know, how do you feel about that?
It feels wrong to me because if you're going to a Caribbean island, you should want the real feel. I mean, if you want to have scrambled eggs, why not stay in America?
Well, you know, I couldn't agree more with that. When my wife and I were in Italy in 2008, we tend to travel wherever we travel. We don't want to be too touristy. We want to see more of what the rhythms of life is like. So we were staying in this bed and breakfast. There was a couple from Switzerland. There was a gentleman from Sudan. And there was a couple from Texas. And one morning at breakfast, the gentleman from Texas says, guess what we found in the middle of Italy? A McDonald's. And I just buried my face in my hands. I thought, why are you here? What's the point? And that's sort of the point that you're making about scrambled eggs, right? But does it feel exploitive to you? In any way, Martine?
It does, because I feel if you're going to Jamaica, you should get the whole feel. Instead of you getting stuff out of an oven, we would like to see it on a grill where it's naturally done.
And there's all kinds of great food to have.
I mean, just like in any country or any state, it's the same thing. There's your good areas and there's your bad areas.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me just ask our guests, tell us a little bit about their backgrounds and what brought them here. Joel Frater, again, with the Rochester Jamaican Organization. Tell me about your background, Joel.
Well, I was a teacher in Jamaica, and I came here as a graduate student. And following graduate school, I continued my education in America by going on for my doctorate at Temple University. I actually studied tourism, so it's quite ironic that you started the segment.
And I'm not saying, I don't think anybody is saying all tourism is a negative there. It's just a matter of, can you travel in a way that is even more helpful to local economies? But so continue. So you study tourism and?
Yes. So I moved to the Rochester area 21 years ago, you know, as a professor at SUNY Brockport. And for the last year, I have been working at Monroe Community College as executive dean for the downtown campus, or Damon City campus. And as you know, there are big things on the horizon for MCC.
That's a whole separate hour.
For MCC downtown. No, I'll be back to talk about that.
Yeah, so, no, absolutely. I look forward
someday,
to that. Yeah, you've been very busy with that.
Oh, absolutely.
Is it going well?
It is indeed going well. And MCC is certainly a strategic partner with our community organizations as well. And I'll touch on some of the ways MCC is helping our Caribbean community in Rochester.
Yeah, well, what are some of the examples of that?
You know, for one example is the way MCC supports student scholarships. So if you go to a Rochester Jamaican Organization event, you'll see MCC supporting scholarships for students who are MCC bound. You know, I recently went to the Ibero-American League dinner, and there were 6 scholarships handed out by MCC. You know, so there is that commitment, and there may be other organizations in the community that are committed to the vision of the Caribbean community here.
What have you observed in your couple of decades here, Joel, about what Americans, what Rochesterians, what Western New Yorkers know or don't know about the Caribbean in general?
There are multiple ways of learning about a place and about the people who occupy a place. Certainly the media plays a role in providing sound bites about a place, glossy pictures, as you mentioned earlier. But there's also an opportunity to immerse oneself into a culture, into the experience of a people. Now, through the Rochester Jamaican Organization, for example, Rochester has an opportunity for that immersion through the kinds of activities and programs we offer locally. You know, on July 22nd, we'll be hosting our 10th annual Independence Gala. That's an opportunity for all of Rochester to immerse itself into a uniquely Jamaican experience. And it's music, it's culture. It is a showcase of what Jamaica truly has to offer in a variety of ways in Rochester.
Now, hold on just for a moment there, Joel, because throughout this hour, you're going to hear about a number of different events, the Jerk Festival, the different events coming up throughout the summer. And we would just kind of want to plant some flags if people are interested. So you mentioned that's July 22nd?
Yes.
Okay, so again, tell us about what's coming up on the 22nd and how people could get involved.
Yeah, so on July 22nd, we will be hosting our 10th annual Independence Gala. It will be at the Holiday Inn, okay, Rochester downtown. Our guest of honor will be Jamaica's ambassador to the United Nations, and our own Mayor Lovely Warren, and there are certainly other guests who have been invited, and we're waiting for confirmation from those individuals. A local reggae band, Ignite, will certainly add some true Jamaican flavor to that event. We'll have an opportunity to honor college-bound students with various scholarships. We will be awarding the Dolores Lewis Memorial Scholarship. We will be awarding the MCC Foundation Scholarship, and also a generous family just stepped up with the Nika Mundi Senior Memorial Scholarship for another student. So those are some ways we will be celebrating the Jamaican experience, but also recognizing deserving students locally.
Okay. And if you want to get tickets, they can do that, yeah?
Well, absolutely. So they can certainly email us at rochesterjamaican.org@yahoo.com or call us at 234-2119.
So it's a chance to kind of see the culture and experience that and learn a little bit more. What are some of the stereotypes that you've heard from Americans in your time in this country, Joel?
Well, I hear a good one, that Jamaicans have many jobs. It is indeed a stereotype. There is also, you know, the stereotype about marijuana use. Mm-hmm. Well, that was taboo at one time. Now it's an economic driver all across the United States. You know, so something that was once criminalized is not so criminal anymore in certain parts of the country, so long as you follow the law. You know, so that's certainly, you know, a stereotype we have to encounter.
We'll come back a little bit later in the hour to where things are in Jamaica, biggest challenges, the state of their government, which occasionally confuses me, that Joe will help elucidate for us. let me turn to Earl Barnes, the president of the Rochester Caribbean Alliance, and tell me about your background, Earl.
Yes, I graduated from Brockport State University. I came up from Brooklyn by way of Jamaica. Now, just to illustrate, get back on what Dr. Fetter was saying, we have, with the Caribbean Alliance, we have an immersion program for colleges, students that are actually in college at the time. So just to piggyback on what he was saying, to get you in the culture. So if we take a 2 months internship in Jamaica, you'll actually be spending time with a Jamaican family, eating the food, ackee and dumpling and all the native dishes. So that's one thing that we've tried to establish with the Alliance as far as getting our students involved in the actual nativism, as we say it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and we do that in Jamaica, Antigua, Trinidad, and Barbados. So these are just a few of the countries that's already on board in the program.
How many islands are there in the Caribbean? I mean, there are...
Literally thousands.
Yeah.
But people are more familiar with 36 of them. You know, when you go down through Trinidad, Barbados, Anola, St. Lucia, and we can go down the list. The Virgin Islands, the British Virgin Islands. So all encompasses the Caribbean Sea.
Mm-hmm. And what do you see as someone who has roots from Jamaica as... Similar question I was wondering from Joel. What do you hear from Americans that is either wrong? I'll give you an example. I remember as a child when our family was considering like different vacation spots and someone had brought up Jamaica. Mm-hmm. I remember someone said, I don't think it was in my family. I just remember as a kid hearing, well, if you go inland, there's a lot of crime. You know, there's a stereotype. And I'm not saying it, you know, there's no crime, but that's kind of an ugly thing to say about a nation that, you know, go there and stay on the borders. That's a tough message to give someone who may be traveling to Caribbean nations. What are some of the stereotypes you
have? Well, I mean, once in a while, back in the day, I should say, Kingston was a major crime spot. It's not anymore. You know, just like any other city or country, you have crimes in different aspects. The tourism area, that's a whole different thing. Most of the tourism spots are all-inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in an insulated environment, okay? But if you go down to Jamaica today, I mean, it's as safe as any city in the United States within capacity, you know, with the capacity.
The same size, the same, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In comparison.
What has effectively helped reduce that crime rate?
Oh, well, you have policing, mm-hmm. community policing, which is a factor here. And just that individual deciding that they're not going to take certain things anymore. So it's a combination.
Joel, what do you think?
It is an economic imperative. If you operate in an economy where your primary industry is tourism, it is critical to have a safe space for your visitors.
Exactly.
So when something starts to affect your primary source of income, you must pay attention. You know, so there was a tipping point. And once you get to that tipping point, you have to really reevaluate your situation and say, is this a course we can continue on?
Earl used a term that a lot of travelers are familiar with, all-inclusive. Mm-hmm. Should we assume when we hear all-inclusive, that means that your money stays within the resort, it doesn't really reach the general population? Is that an assumption that's fair or not?
But you have people from the general population
who work at the resort. Okay.
Right. So it's just a matter of definition.
Okay.
You know, is your money circulating in the community or in that? No, because you have people that are local that are working in the environment.
Okay. Joel?
So.
Yes, so it is a double-edged sword. The all-inclusive resort lends itself to safety and security and that peace of mind that some visitors are looking for. You have visitors who are more adventurous. They want to get out. They are the ones who want to experience a true or authentic Jamaican culture, per se. They'll venture out. It is the all-inclusive concept helps to mitigate the fear that visitors have because of that sense of security. It limits the multiplier effect of tourism. And to truly impact the average person on the street, you have to create a mechanism for that initial expenditure to multiply throughout the economy. The all-inclusive resort limits that to an extent. And the concept allows some manipulation, of course. There are people who will come into those resorts and have an opportunity to sell their goods and services. However, that's controlled. Now, if you are in a European, all-American style, tourism concept, what it does, it allows you to get out and spend your money where you want to spend it on your terms. All-inclusive concept sort of controls that process a little bit more than, the other styles of operation.
Slate.com gave three ideas for being a more ethical traveler if you go to the Caribbean. We'll see if our guests agree with this. We'll go down the list. Slate says, number one, spend money within the local economy. Try to find locally run hotels, restaurants, and tour guides. If possible, avoid businesses that are run by overseas companies, and that includes the local McDonald's. Buy locally made souvenirs and handicrafts, but make sure they aren't made from endangered plants or animals. So that's number one. Agree or disagree on the panel?
Well, as a Jamaican, when I go home, I'm staying with family. Okay,
sure.
We're going out.
Well, it's easier for you.
Well, yeah, but it, in the end, it's still a mix because we're interacting with family, we're interacting with others who are in the same environment as we are. Now, when we go up to Ochi or in another area, yeah, we're going to do everything that's local. So it's a mixed bag when it comes down to it.
Okay, but I don't have family there like you, or else. Go ahead, Joel. Go ahead, Joel.
I think that's discounting the reality of globalization, though.
Okay.
Because to assume that by spending your money at McDonald's you're being unethical, I think that's misleading to an extent. Because there are local people who work at McDonald's.
Exactly.
So by spending your money there, you're certainly benefiting some individuals who are local. By spending your money in an all-inclusive resort that's owned by a Spanish parent company, it doesn't mean there isn't some local benefit, because certainly there are tax benefits. People are employed within that industry. Those individuals go out, they spend money in local stores. If you remove all those multinational companies from Jamaica, for example, what will that mean for the economy? The other question is, do we have enough local investors and developers who have the capacity to build the kinds of resorts that the multinational companies built? And it's all market driven. Because if there wasn't a market for the type of product the Jamaican tourism industry is turning out, people wouldn't go. There is a diverse market.
Exactly.
Just on this subject, just got an email from a listener named Allison who wants to know if workers at those resorts in the Caribbean are paid fair wages.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Because, see, just to give you an example, if we go out for 2 weeks, we're spending 1 week with family and then we're in the hotel for another week because it's a vacation/working environment. And when you say fair wages, we have to compare the local rate of dollar value in comparison to the work that's being performed. So, I mean, not to play with words, but it's a matter of definition for the person that's working in that environment. And those jobs are highly, highly sought after.
Okay, Joel?
So, Jamaica has minimum wage laws. So at a minimum, people have to make minimum wage.
Right.
Relatively speaking, is your minimum wage comparable to an American minimum wage? No.
No.
But it's relative.
Exactly.
So it's based on the Jamaican marketplace, the Jamaican economy, the Jamaican law, et cetera, et cetera. I think a more fundamental question to ask is, does a Jamaican worker with the same credentials make the same amount of money that an expatriate who is working in the industry makes? I think that's a more fundamental question I would raise. I don't have an answer specifically, but from an ethical point of view, from an equity point of view, that's a question I would want to raise.
All right, so I'll just try to move quickly through the other 2 points because I've got so much more I want to discuss with our guests this hour. Maybe we should have done two. Their second point was negotiate fair prices for goods and services, and it goes both ways. Don't haggle just so you can tell your friends that you bought a trinket for a penny, and don't pay $10 for a cab ride that should cost $1 just because that seems too low a price. When tourists overpay for basic services, it changes the economy and locals can't afford them anymore. Good advice or misguided there?
That is good advice.
Okay.
Because there's something called the social caring capacity within the tourism industry. And we have to make sure the local people can withstand, you know, the changes in the economy, the changes in the social condition within that economy. Because when that tourist leaves, what happens? If tourism causes overinflation, what is that going to do to the local people? If your pricing is based on the spending capacity of your tourists alone, that's going to have a devastating impact on your local people who are trying now to acquire the goods and services that are priced at the tourist level.
Okay, and their third point, don't give handouts especially to children. Unfortunately, children are often pulled out of school to beg, and giving them money directly will only make it more likely to continue in the future. If you want to give money to help the individuals you meet while traveling, consider making a donation to a trustworthy non-governmental organization or a charity in that community.
Yeah, that's definitely not related to Jamaica. I'm not sure. I mean, that's the one thing the Caribbean, I mean, it's all about education. So to pull a child out from school to beg, that's not...
Not happening in Jamaica.
No, that's not happening.
And I, you know, I'm not going to put myself on the line on that because I do believe those social conditions exist all over the world.
Yes.
And I cannot sit here and say Jamaica is immune to that practice.
On the whole.
Yes.
On the whole.
So there are instances where that happens. And if somebody pulls a child out of a school to beg, I'm vehemently opposed to that. You know, so I'm not going to question what a person has observed.
And in any country, any state, is you have your upper class, your middle class, and your lower class.
So in other words, what you might observe in traveling in the Caribbean have the same sort of ethos that you would carry about helping your own community or communities around the world. If you want to use your dollars to support it and you see a problem, you can find reputable charities. And it's a good idea to do that. But, you know, I think Martin's point is it's not necessarily unique to Jamaica or the rest of the Caribbean.
Right.
No. And speaking about reputable charity, the Rochester Jamaican Organization supports the Theodora Project in Jamaica. And this is an initiative that rescues young girls from human trafficking. And through our organization, we provide support for that group of young people in Jamaica. And that's certainly making a tremendous impact.
Well, to expand on Martin's point then, human trafficking is not unique to Jamaica. We had conversations on this show that really surprised me about how prevalent it can be even in this country.
Right.
Human trafficking, child slavery is happening around the world. But, again, can you mention that organization again for those who are particularly concerned about this issue?
Yes, it's the Theodora Project, and through the Rochester Jamaican Organization. And, you know, right here locally, the Gates United Presbyterian Church, they're an equal partner in that effort to address that very, very important social ill.
Okay, as I said, I'm getting behind. But Martine, tell me your story. You're the owner of the Jerk Hut Express. You organized the Jerk Festival, the Rochester Jerk Festival. But tell me about your background.
Well, my family migrated to Queens, New York, and I went. I came to the United States when I was 5. I lived in New York City for 20 years. Then I ended up moving to Rochester, and had raised my kids. And I went to Roberts. I got my master's in health administration. And that's how I came to Rochester.
Well, you buried the lead, though. From 0 to 5, where were you?
Well, I lived in Jamaica until I was 5, and okay. Then my family migrated to Queens.
Okay. And now, how would you identify the biggest need that your home country would have, that the Jamaica has? I would ask all of you the same question. Jamaica or Caribbean nations in general, we've talked about poverty, sort of stereotypes versus reality. We've talked about child trafficking. We've talked about wages, inequality. What's the biggest issue facing Jamaica or Caribbean nations in general?
I think wages. You know, if they can get better jobs and have higher wages, I think Jamaica would be a great place to live.
Economic equality, yeah. Yeah, okay. Joel?
I think unemployment is a challenge. And that certainly has a rippling effect.
Okay.
Has an impact on the quality of education one can afford.
Earl?
Well, even when you look at the food base, farming, I mean, a lot of stuff is being exported or imported into the Caribbean. I mean, we're basically a farming country from beginning, you know, the island as a whole. So, I mean, these are the economic environment that we find ourselves in today. You know.
Well, one of our listeners sent a note saying, when are you going to get to the food? Let's take our only break of the hour. Let's take our only break of the hour, and let's come back and let's talk about food, a little more culture, the community, the Caribbean community that we have here in Western New York, and some of the various events that are coming up. We've touched on that. We'll continue with that conversation with my guest for the hour, Martine Rose, organizer of the 2016 Rochester Jerk Festival. Dr. Joel Frater, Rochester Jamaican Organization, among other hats he wears in our community, and Earl Barnes is the president of the Rochester Caribbean Alliance. Short break, and we'll come right back on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, summer employment. Did you have a job during the summer when you were a teenager? For thousands of kids in the city of Rochester, having that opportunity can be vital, particularly for kids in poverty, kids at risk. And there are programs looking to create more opportunity when the jobs are scarcer these days. We'll talk about all of that and more next hour on Connections. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. We're wrapping up June, and June has been Caribbean Heritage Month here. You might have noticed a flag raising at City Hall and a ceremony earlier this month, and our guests are talking about Caribbean heritage, their own backgrounds, and the culture that they bring to our community. One that I think occasionally, as we've been discussing, can be hit with some stereotypes, and we're trying to talk about the reality of not only Caribbean life and culture there, but also Caribbean culture here. And for the question on food, you know, Martine Rose, what is the most authentic Jamaican meal you can think of?
That people love, I think, the jerk chicken.
Just jerk chicken, but is that what you remember? I mean, even from...
Yes, because even when you go to Jamaica and you go out for the evening, you always see somebody on the side of the street with a grill doing jerk chicken.
Jerk chicken. All right, Joel, you agree with that? You can feel free to disagree. Go ahead.
You don't think so?
Well, jerk is authentically Jamaica. But we need to realize the national dish of Jamaica is ackee and salt fish. That may need some explaining.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, ackee is a fruit that grows in a tree. Fish is fish, but it's salted codfish.
Spell ackee.
A-C-K-E-E.
A-C-K-E-E. E-E, ackee. Okay, it's a fruit, you said.
Yes.
What's it like?
It's yellow. When cooked, a little soft. When eaten, delicious.
Delicious.
Yes.
Find ackee? Do you ever see ackee around here?
Yes.
Yeah?
Wegmans carries it.
Oh, wow.
D&L Groceries, Livy's, you know, all the West Indian stores in Rochester carry.
Look at that, Joe. I've been missing ackee all this time.
Yes.
All right, so you tell me, go get some ackee, but do what with it?
So ask a Jamaican to cook it for you.
Well, if you're not coming over.
But I think if you're on a tourist point of view, they went to Jamaica and they saw ackee. They're not going to, they won't try ackee. They'll try a jerk chicken first before they try the ackee.
Maybe so. Okay. but hey, if I can find it here, I'd love to try it. So honestly, if I can't have you over, then Joel, and I'd love to try it. So what's the best way to prepare it?
So ackee is, well, it's pre-cooked somewhat. Since it's canned here in Jamaica, you'd have to
get it from the tree. Okay.
So it's canned here. It's a little processed.
Yeah.
Not 100% authentic,
of course. Okay.
It's a little processed. You have to extract the salt from the fish, mix those together, saute those with all your favorite seasoning, and there you go. You have a delicious meal.
And even though it'll be...
And when in doubt, just Google the recipe.
There you go. But even though it'll be canned close enough, you're saying it's not quite like you might remember it off a tree. It grows on a tree, yeah? But it's okay.
It's close enough.
Okay. Earl?
But one of the best places to get the ackee and saltfish is Pepper Pot. And they specialize in that. I mean, they do that like once a week at least. So, yeah. But you have the jerk. Back to the jerk. Because you have jerk pork. I mean, jerk could be anything now. I mean, lamb. I mean, the jerk is the process of the seasoning, preparing the meat. So that's authentically Jamaican. But ackee and saltfish, there's no one in Jamaica that wouldn't tell you all the different ways to make ackee and saltfish, because that's one of our favorite dishes.
All right, well, let me ask both Martine Rose and Robert Granson Studio, who is her business partner.
Correct.
So welcome. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Have you had much jerk chicken? And how about ackee and saltfish? What's the second fish? It's saltfish?
Ackee and saltfish. I mean, I grew up in a Jamaican community, so I had all that growing up. So, yeah. I had tons of jerk.
Now, you just mentioned the jerk is a process. I always thought jerk means a spice.
Spicy.
It's a season.
It's very hot.
But it's very spicy. And it's not initially, when you first eat it, the spice kind of, you know, it kind of gets hotter the more you eat it. It's like a soft, it's like a slow burn.
It's an introduction.
Yeah.
So are you saying if I'm not used to jerk, start slow?
By the time you're done eating the jerk chicken, you're going to be sweating. I do.
but you love it, though.
Yeah, you can't stop it. It's addictive.
One bite leads to 10 bites. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of the time process that you have.
Martin, what is a jerk spice?
It's made with scallion, scotch bonnet pepper, which is a really hot pepper. It's mixed with molasses, onions, thyme, and it's just really spicy.
And she has her own bottles at the restaurant, so... If you guys want to get some jerk sauce, definitely come there and grab it.
Well, where is the restaurant?
It's located on 665 Culver Road.
And how long have you been there?
3 years.
And how's it going?
It's going great.
Yeah?
It's going very well. She initially had two, but she wanted to focus on one, which I thought was a great idea. And a lot of traffic. Last time I went there, on a Friday, people were in and it was like a revolving door. I was so proud of her. I was like, you really built this up. So that's where I wanted to see her be at in like 3 years. So she's kind of ahead of, you know, my timetable that I thought she would be, you know, turning in a lot of revenue.
And everyone in that line is sweating from the jerk?
When they leave and they eat it. So the people who stay there and they eat it probably, but yeah. I sweat every time I eat jerk chicken. Every time I sweat. So
well, since we've got so many Jamaicans in the studio, we've been talking a lot about Jamaica. But you know, Earl, it is important to kind of reemphasize the fact that when we talk about Caribbean Alliance, mm-hmm. as you said earlier, we're talking about hundreds, if not more than 1,000 islands, but also dozens of of nations who have different sort of governmental structures. And for you, what else stands out as Caribbean food? I mean, I'm sure if I was in, you know, from nation to nation and island to island, it may be different from place to place, right?
Oh, yeah. Rice and peas. That's typically Caribbean. You know, Americans say peas and rice, but back home, it's always rice and peas. You get the starch with the protein. And then, of course, bun and cheese. That's traditional. And curried, you know, curried goat, curried chicken. So the curry spice, that's a part of the island in general.
Okay.
So those are a couple that comes to mind right off the bat.
And if you were talking to a Trinidadian, a Trinidadian would talk about roti.
Exactly.
Oh, I love roti.
And not to mention the doubles.
You got to tell me about roti now, Joel.
Well, I'll defer to the chef.
This is a good time for the host, by the way, to point out that we've been talking about the Summer of Food. It's a series of conversations on this program that are going to be sort of food and agriculturally based. We're going to primarily be doing them on Thursdays throughout the summer. And this isn't solely a Summer of Food conversation, but it's sort of it's become one because we're all talking food now because the audience wanted to hear about Caribbean food. So roti is what it's called?
Roti is a dough, but it's, like he said, it's Trinidadian. But a lot of Jamaicans like it because they prepare it with like a curry chicken and they use the dough and then they just put the chicken as a filling and roll it and they eat it. It's really tasty.
And that's a Trinidadian tradition.
Trinidadian tradition.
If I'm hanging out with families in Kingston, no one's making roti?
They might, some of the Indians that migrated from Trinidad that lives in Jamaica. And they just put it together with any kind of curry, curry goat or curry chicken or even curry shrimp.
Curry shrimp, especially, yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about events coming up here. We've touched on that, but let me kind of go around the table and find out what is coming up because I think this is, as Joel said earlier, a way for us to connect more authentically with culture, with heritage. And I'll go around the table and Martine Rose, what's the Rochester Jerk Festival?
It's to teach Rochester our culture, try out different foods, you know, family fun with, you know, there's going to be vendors so that people have never tried jerk chicken or fried dumpling, they get a chance to try it. There's festivals in every state, so I thought it would be a great idea to bring it to the Rochester area, even though it's kind of small, but we're lacking a lot of, you know, West Indian culture here, and it's for us to teach them our culture.
Okay.
And bring a little diversity.
So when's that happening?
It's happening on July 30th at MLK Park. And also while we teach them our foods, we also give them live entertainment with local and bands that are from out of town. And Mighty Mystic is our main performer, and he's from Boston, Massachusetts.
Robert's
going to
add something to that. He's from Jamaica. He's originally, I met him, we grew up together in Boston, but he moved from Jamaica to Boston. He's the headliner. He is the brother of the new prime minister of Jamaica. So it should be a fun time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's July 30th.
30th. And the event starts from 12 to 8.
And there's the Jerk Festival. So if you want to sweat, if you want to know exactly what Martina and Robert are talking about. Well, it's easy. In my family, I'm a little bit...
You don't like spice?
No, I like spice, but I'm just saying it's easier to make me sweat.
Okay. Cool.
Probably because when I was 15, one of my first jobs, I was a busboy, and I walked in, and the chef said, "Come here, we got something for you." And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "Well, everybody's trying this new sauce." And he puts like this fingernail dab on a cracker. And I said, "That's it? That's all you have?" He said, "You don't need any more than that." And I spent the next half hour just laying down first I put ice and towels in my mouth, just get it out of my mouth. And they said, "You're going to need milk. You know, you don't want water and ice." So I think that conditioned me to be a little leery. But I've grown to love spice. It's just easy to make me sweat. Mm. So I look forward to.
You drink milk? That's what you drink to come?
Well, they said you know that like a thick, rich vitamin D milk will help kind of calm it down a little bit.
Does that work?
Robert, you're telling me they had.
I don't drink milk. I just drink water.
Well, but apparently I sweat a little easier than you do. So you want to check out the Jerk Festival? It's July 30th at MLK Park. You said
yes.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great time. Martine's doing a lot of things in the community. She's bringing cultures together. So everyone, please come out and enjoy the entertainment, the food. It's going to be great. It's going to be a good time. This is the second this is the second one, so this is the second annual one, so it's going to be great.
And I imagine, for both of you, it's a great chance, too, to just talk to people who are not from the Caribbean about culture, right?
Exactly.
You know, you have questions. These are the people who are from that part of the world, and they can help us understand better. Joel Earle, what's coming up that you want people to know about?
Yeah, we have the annual Carry Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this year, we won't be having the second phase of the Carry Fest. We'll be doing the parade, and that will be on August 13th. And it kicks off at 10 a.m. at the flagpole all the way down to Plymouth, mm-hmm. Plymouth, Maine and Plymouth. So we need everyone to come out to represent your island, and we'll go from there. Carry Fest 2016.
Okay. Joel?
Several. But I'll start with the main event, which is our annual Independence Gala, and that's July 22nd, Holiday Inn, Rochester downtown. Starts at around 6 o'clock with a little reception. Main event starts at 7, special guests, Jamaica's ambassador to the UN, and our own mayor, Lovely Warren. So we look forward to seeing not only our Jamaican community, but all of the Caribbean and all of our American friends, including you, Evan.
Okay. And so you said there are several. So what's the rest of your list?
And this is, you know, just to give you a sense of some of the other socially conscious things we do here in Rochester. So in addition to that Independence Gala, we do have our annual Independence Church service on July 24th at Genesee Baptist Church. That starts at 10 o'clock. And on September 10th, we welcome our college students to the community with what we call a Taste of Home. And that is just a social networking gathering for college students. We feed them, we introduce them to Rochester, and introduce them to the West Indian culture here as well. So those are some of the events. And another one that addresses our social consciousness is our community health fair that will be on August 27th at the Boys and Girls Club of Rochester. So we certainly look forward to hosting and partnering with our sister organizations and all our sponsors to make these things happen.
Is there a way to sort of find that list online, a Rochester Jamaican organization online?
Yes, it's www.rochesterjamaican.org. And again, our phone number is 585-234-2119.
I'll make sure that producer Megan Mack and I on the podcast on the website for WXXINews.org/connections, we'll make sure you're hooked up with links to the various festivals and organizations so you can kind of peruse that for yourself, because there's a lot, and there's a lot that is going on. I've got a few minutes left, and I wanted to ask about something that, just as admittedly, it can confuse me as an outsider, someone trying to understand structure of government and what is happening as we go forward. There are so many different nations and parts of the Caribbean that, you know, there's not just one form of government or one nation involved. You know, you've the Dutch, you've got the British, you have independent nations, etc. But just looking at Jamaica, for example, the Queen is the head of the government. It is, I guess, independent for roughly the last 50, 60 years. But the Queen is
54 years.
54 is okay. And the Queen is the titular head of government. But there have been questions about breaking away from the Queen, as I understand it. There are also questions among Caribbean nations about desire for reparations, to sort of right some past injustices. And I'm trying to sort through that and make sure I understand right now. For example, in Jamaica, what's going on? So, Joel?
So Jamaica has what is called a parliamentary democracy. Yeah, so we've had a two-party system, you know, since independence. The Queen is the de facto head of state, represented locally by the Governor General. We have a two-party system, and there are other parties that are, you know, sort of secondary in their stature and influence around the country. We have elections every 4 or 5 years. You know, the date is not written in stone as it is in America. But throughout this time, we've had that state of democracy. Jamaica is a part of the British Commonwealth. So it's not unlike Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and all the other places around the world that are still a part of the British Commonwealth. You know, so that
But that
is,
could change.
It could change, but that chatter has been going on for a very, very long time.
I mean, are we talking about a Jamexit here? I mean, like, we just had Brexit. are we on the verge of a Jamexit here?
Well, it's I think it's more similar to Puerto Rico voting to exit the union. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's more similar to that. You know, the EU is more an economic market. Similarly, in the Caribbean, we have the CARICOM, which is a common economic market. You know, so a lot of those things are for economic reasons. You know, we are now politicizing the exit of Britain from the EU. Britain was never fully in the EU. It had one toe in because it never changed its currency. So Britain has always felt itself to be the granddaddy of them all.
And now I also read about possible move for reparations. But again, I see it in certain headlines, but I haven't read much about it, Joel.
Reparation isn't anything new. We hear that in America, among our African-American community members, because we need to remember that America and Jamaica had a similar history as far as colonialism is concerned. You know, Columbus landed on America the same way it landed on Jamaica. And Britain colonized Jamaica the same way it colonized America. Jamaica underwent slavery similarly to America. So the call for reparation is not unique to Caribbean islands. It is about places that have endured British colonialism, have endured slavery. That is the premise for reparation. It's not a Caribbean movement. It is a question about the right or wrong of slavery.
But that kind of a move to formalize either a demand or a request for reparations, as you say, is not new and not necessarily imminent.
Right.
Okay. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left here. Let me just ask our guest what they want to leave the audience with as we try to better understand our Caribbean brothers and sisters here in Rochester. Earl?
Yep. And one thing, I want to give out the number for the CARIFEST.
Yep.
So it is 585-234-0909. And we're open to everyone in the Caribbean to come on out, you know, share your culture, bring your flag. And the date is August 13th, and we kick off at 10 a.m. at the flagpole.
One of their biggest...
Liberty Pole.
One of their biggest days of the year, so there you go. Joel?
Just want to first sort of acknowledge the many sponsors who have supported the Rochester Jamaican organization. And this year we have a long list of sponsors: North American Brewery, Excellus, RIT, MCC, LaBelle Associates, Ambassador Union, TOP, City of Rochester, Caring and Sharing Child Care Center, Constellation Energy, Roberts Wesleyan, Pathstones, Southwest Airlines. Just want to say a big thank you to all these supporters. And I have to say thank you to WXXI for having us here today to create a platform for us to share our message with this community. You know, the Jamaican community is vibrant in Rochester, and we feel an integral part of the efforts to revitalize our community as much as we feel an affinity to our home country.
Well, you're welcome, and you're certainly an important part of a diverse community, many threads weaving together. Martine and Robert, some quick final thoughts, about 30 seconds.
I also want to thank WXXI as well, and make sure you come out to the Rochester Second Annual Jerk Fest You got a jerk chicken contest, and this would be Saturday, July 30th, on Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Park, and it's $15 in advance and $20 at the door.
Okay. Martine, quick final thoughts.
Well, come and experience the Caribbean vibes. It's fun. The food is going to be great. Just come on out and have fun that day.
Thanks for being here. Thank you, Martine and Robert. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Joel, Earl, wonderful talking to both of you. Thank you for sharing your time and your experience with us here at this hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much to learn about our diverse community. Let's take a short break. When you were growing up, did you have a job as a teenager during the summer? If you're growing up in poverty, that opportunity is less than it has been in recent years, but it might be more important than ever, and we're going to talk about trying to find a way to make sure any teen who wants it in Rochester can get a job this summer. That's next.